Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Turn to Exodus chapter 20.
This message slipped up on me. I had it in my mind all week that the next commandment is thou shalt not steal. So I've been thinking, Bradley, all week about thou shalt not steal. Now, next week I'll have a pretty good message. Okay? This one slipped up on me. And sometimes you think the Bible says something, and then when you go read it, you're going, well, that's not how I remembered it. Okay? And I was thinking that thou shalt not steal was the next commandment in line. But God said, no, Mike. We dealt with, in fact, we're going to read the Ten Commandments up into the one that we get to. Let's start in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let me hear you say amen to that.
Amen.
Number 4, the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I want you to think about the word keep, what it means. And do you all agree with this commandment? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, we're 2 for 2 so far. Verse 7, commandment number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How many of you agree with that one? Say amen. Verse number 8, commandment number 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. How many of you agree with that one? Say amen.
Amen.
Commandment number 5, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want to hear everybody 18 and younger, if you agree with that one, say amen. Let's try this again. Everybody 18 and younger, if you agree with this commandment, say amen.
Amen.
Well, we got a lot of work to do around here. Amen. Maybe they're just shy. Okay, maybe they're just shy. Sixth commandment, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. How many of you agree with that one? Say amen. Now verse 14, commandment number 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All of you who agree with that one, say amen. I want us to bow our heads and I want us to pray about this message, all right? And God reminded me to give grace with the law this morning, okay? I'm going to give some grace with the law, and then we'll talk about it, all right? I could just say this 4 times real fast and let's get out of here, because the Word of God means what it says, and I don't need to expound on it a whole lot, because thou shalt not commit adultery. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
If I didn't do nothing but say that and preach that about 3 times to get you to say amen, that would be it right there. Okay, but I'm gonna expound on it just a little bit, and I'm gonna give you some grace this morning. All right, Heavenly Father, we love your law, Lord. We endeavor to keep your law, Lord. We're gonna hold on to the law. We're gonna amen that it's good. We're never going to have a situation, Lord, in our life where even if we break and disobey your commandments, Lord, we're never, ever We're going to be in a place where we say, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. Lord, at that point, we have not kept your law. We've decided that your law is only relevant to certain people, but it doesn't apply to us in certain situations. God, that's not how it is. Lord, you used plainness of speech. We don't need other translations to tell us, Lord, that we're not to commit adultery. We don't need new Bibles. We don't need new preaching. We don't need psychotherapists. We don't need anything like that, Lord, in regard to this matter. Father, Lord, we just need to understand that this is what you said. And we give consent, Lord, that we agree with it. And that it's the law of God. It's the Ten Commandments. And we're the people, dear God, who still believe in the Ten Commandments. So, Father, Lord, I'm just asking, God, for your help and your blessing. Your help to preach the message, to do it in love. Lord, Father, to give the law. And help us to understand the law. Help us, dear God, to obey the law. But, Father, Lord, if any man sin, Lord, we're thankful that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who did not dishonor your law. He has not killed. He has not committed adultery. He has not stolen. He's not lied. He's not coveted. He's kept, Lord, and obeyed every law that you have. And, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our advocate with you, Heavenly Father. And so, Father, Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you'd bless this church. And, Lord, Father, there may be, Lord, somebody sitting here right now in this congregation. Lord, I don't know. But, God, there just may be somebody sitting in this congregation right now, Lord, that is thinking about committing adultery or has thought about it. Lord, there may be somebody, Lord, watching over the internet that, Lord, in this week has contemplated cheating on their spouse. And Father, I pray, dear God, Lord, that the conviction of the Holy Ghost would be upon them. And Lord, Father, that you would bear down on their soul, dear God, and help them realize, Lord, that it's a burden that they cannot carry. It's a thing, dear God, they cannot do. And Father, Lord, just help them and give them your grace. Bless and honor your word. And we love you. And we thank you, dear God, for saying things to us, Lord, we need to hear. Bless us and help us, dear God. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, like I say, I could just say, thou shalt not commit adultery. We'd all say amen, and we'd stand up and pray, and we could go home. Because really, the law doesn't need a whole lot of explaining to do. We understand what it means when thou shalt not kill. Amen?
Amen.
We understand what it means when it says thou shalt not bear false witness. Amen?
Amen?
We understand what it means when it says thou shalt not steal. And we understand what it means thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I will tell you this, that I went and looked the word up. Because you know me, I think words mean something. And I think this English Bible has in it what we're supposed to hear. Amen? I think it's the Word of God. Yeah, and God used the right word here. And I had it wrong in my mind of what adultery meant. I thought that a word adultery meant to do what adults do. You know how we use that phrase? And even watch this. There's movies and books that they say for adults only. And they don't call, like this porn shop that used to be over here in Crystal City, they don't call that. They don't have it advertised, dirty bookstore, pornography shop. They don't advertise it that way. They call it a what?
Adult
bookstore. Okay? Now, that gives the implication that it's okay for grown-ups to do it, but it's not okay for kids to do it. But I'm going to tell you, that's not what this word means. And I will tell you this. If it's wrong for grown-ups, if it's wrong for kids to do it, it's wrong for grown-ups to do it.
Amen.
God does not. You will not find in this Bible where God has two laws for little kids and God has another law for grown-up adults. It's not here. Let me get you to say amen to that.
Amen.
We have developed that idea as the fabric of our culture in this country. We call them adult beverages. We don't let kids drink if they're not 21. We don't let them smoke if they're not 18. We don't let them do this and do that. But the thing is, if it's not right for the kids, then it's not right for the adults either. Let me hear you say amen now. We're gonna say amen every now and then. Every now and then we're gonna be quiet today. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're gonna get to the quiet part. I'm not gonna ask you to say amen, What I'm going to tell you is right. I don't need you to amen it. Okay? And I'll say this. Sometimes in a congregation, you have a church meeting, you have a revival meeting, you have a preacher's meeting. You know them Bible conferences we go to when all the preachers show up? Well, them preachers know how to amen. And they'll amen and shout hallelujah and stand and throw their Bible up and down and everything like that. And I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to this real good. Sometimes the amen out of somebody is a spiritual cover.
Yes.
They're going to act like publicly that they consent to what the amen, preacher! Woo! And I'm not the judge, but I can tell you that in some cases it's a spiritual cover. Now, you know what that preacher's done? That preacher has nailed their sin.
Yes.
And exposed their sin. And instead of sitting there quietly listening to what the Holy Ghost is telling them, they put on a spiritual covering to make it look like, bless God, I don't do that. Amen. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
Okay. So there'll be times this morning when I don't want anybody to say amen, because I don't want anybody to put on a spiritual cover, because if you're guilty, you're guilty. And rather than you trying to cover it up, let Jesus do it. With his blood. Amen? That was the time for you to say amen. Okay? That was your cue right there. Okay? If I do this, it means I want to hear it. Okay? But if the Holy Ghost is convicting you and dealing with you about something, we don't need everybody to know it. So we're not going to judge who says amen and who against who doesn't. Is that fair?
Amen. Yes.
Okay? The word adultery does not mean what adults do. The word adultery, the etymology, I like etymology. I like to find out where these words come from. Have you ever heard of the phrase unadulterated? You know what that means? It means it's pure. It means it's not false or it's not been corrupted. So I have the unadulterated Bible.
Amen.
It's pure. It's not been corrupted. It's not false and phony. Somebody emailed me this week about a major ministry that has sort of a ministry kind of like ours, that they're warning about false stuff that's going on in the church, and yet the email that corresponds that they had with their leader, this leader said it is a heresy to believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And they said, how should I respond? And I said, I wouldn't. And they start calling you heretics, you're not going to get past that, amen? Just move on down the road. Can I hear you say amen? But anyway, when it's unadulterated, that means it's pure, it's not been corrupted. The word adult means corrupted. It means corruption. It means falsehood. And I want you to think about how that word applies then to what we're talking about. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That means do not have a false relationship outside of the bonds of marriage. Do not corrupt your marriage. That sounds good. See, that's right, isn't it? Do not corrupt your marriage with the sin of adultery. In fact, let's go to the Bible, okay? Let's define this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Turn there. And for those of you who think that adultery is what everybody else does and not you, let's just define it biblically. God ordained a marital role. And I'm not even, listen, there's enough preachers out there that preach dirty on Sunday morning. You don't need me to do it. There's enough preachers out there that even put up billboards of two people in bed and saying, we're going to preach on this Sunday. We're going to tell you how to have a good you-know-what in your marriage. I'm not going to do that. That's not right. Some things should not be talked about publicly. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? And I'm just going to tell you, okay, that the Bible, God is the one who defined the role of the relationship of a man and a wife. And I will tell you this, is thus saith the Lord. If it's not within the bounds of legal marriage, it is not right. Now you can be mad at me if you want. You can close the book and be done. I didn't write the laws. I didn't write the Bible. It's kind of like we talking about getting pulled over by a cop this morning. You can get mad at the cop all you want to, but he did not write the laws. He's just enforcing what he was told to enforce. So getting mad at him doesn't do a bit of good, which, by the way, I don't recommend it either. Okay? I don't recommend when you, as soon as you roll the window down, you flip your cigarette out at him. Amen? Don't do that. Okay? Or throw your McDonald's cup or whatever it is. All right? Don't tear the ticket up in front of him and throw it down. Don't do that. Okay? But anyway, here's how God defines it. God gave Adam a mate. That mate was not another Adam. That mate was not another man. It was not a man dressed up like a woman. A transgendered man. I've been told there's a show on TV, some kind of dance competition show with celebrities in it, that's pairing up Chastity Bono, who's turned herself into a man, along with this guy from Queer Eye for a Straight Guy, or whatever it is. Okay? They're paired up dancing with one another. And if you go home and watch that, shame on you. You're sick. If you get pleasure out of that, there's something wrong with you. Amen. That was your time. Say amen. I don't want no silence on this one. If you've got that set up to record, go home and turn it off. Amen. Don't be watching that filth. I wouldn't have that stuff in my home. Don't be watching that garbage. Amen. We have the Hollywood crowd and the homosexual crowd has stopped at nothing to redefine inside the minds of human beings the roles that two people share with one another. And I want to tell you something. It's an abomination for two men to be in bed together. It's an abomination for two women to be in bed together. It's an abomination for a man and a woman to be together that is not under the bonds of legal marriage. Same sin.
Yes. Yes.
So while you amen the other one, you amen that one. Okay? And Adam said, and you say, oh, I don't believe that, Pastor Michael. Let me show it to you from the Bible. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She, see, that kind of knocks out the he part. Amen? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I'm going to throw this in here. Just what little bit of language study I know. The word man is in the word woman. Did you know that in the Hebrew, the word is for man is ish, and in this place here, ish is Adam, and isha is the woman. You see how they're linked together?
Yes.
It's the same in Hebrew as it is in English. Man and woman. That shows you that they're to be together. And it works. When God blesses a marriage, it works and it's right. Can I hear you say amen? This church is in support of traditional biblical marriage. We stand and consent and agree to one another that this is how it is to be. And anything outside of that is biblically wrong. And it needs to be repented of and forgiven. Repented of and forgiven. Okay? So anyway, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his what? His paramour, his girlfriend, his partner, his significant other. See, it doesn't say that, does it? The Bible is defining for you the role and what is allowable between a man and a woman. I don't need to tell you what nature already tells you. God defines it as between a man and his wife. God has given you a legal definition. You ever heard lawyers talk? They use words that most of us don't use. Did you know that they use those words because they have something called Black's Law Dictionary? I think I'm getting that right. There is an agreed upon, and the law dictionary, I mean, these things are huge, okay? The Black's Law Dictionary defines specifically what every one of these words mean. They use them in legal documents. They use them in court. They use them in everything legal that is written down or recorded of a legal nature. They use these words because they are defined properly, and everyone agrees as to how those words are defined. And the Bible is using terminology here that is legal and will stand up in God's courtroom. He did not say, therefore shall the man cleave to his woman. Therefore shall the man cleave to his girlfriend. Therefore shall the partner cleave to this partner. That is not what it's saying. It is saying that a man shall cleave unto his wife. And so herein lies the sin of adultery. When it's adulterated, there is a corruption of God's intended way. Someone even said, well, I believe that if two people are living together, sharing the same bed and sharing the same home, and they do this long term, they could be considered like they were married. That is not what this Bible says. The word wife is a legal term. Even in today's messed up court system, if you just watch TV courts, okay, they'll give you the definition. All the time, a man and a woman are showing up in court suing each other over their stuff, and they have not joined themselves together legally. They're just living as boyfriend and girlfriend. Did you know that the law does not account for a man and a woman who are just living together to divide up all their stuff? But if they join together legally under the bonds, either the state-given bond or the God-given bond of legal marriage, then each partner has rights according to the law. Amen?
Amen.
They have rights according to the law. So even our law, our legal system right now, well, let's say before all the gay marriage stuff came in, our legal system up until then recognized that legal marriage was between a man and his wife that were joined together legally by the state. Now, you can throw all that out if you want to, but that's how it is. And so we're dealing with the relationship between a man and his wife, and anything outside of that bond is illegal in God's courtroom. Okay, as long as we consent to this. Okay? So that's how God defines it. Now, why did God institute marriage? Ephesians chapter 5, turn there. Beautiful. I love this. I don't feel like being mean today. I feel like just praising marriage is what I feel like. I think marriage is good. That was your turn. That was one of those. Amen. See, I think marriage is good.
Yes.
I think it is. I think it's right. It's prophecy. It's prophecy. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
It's prophecy. It shows something that is going to happen soon. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 30.
For we, Paul is speaking to the church, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are. We are the bride. Amen. We're the soon-to-be wife. And did you know, watch this now, because the Bible gives you an illustration of this, that even the espousement was legal and binding. Because Mary was espoused to Joseph. But they had not consummated the marriage yet, hence she was still a virgin.
Amen.
See, we got that one, amen?
Yes.
But she was espoused to him. That is an engagement, okay? And it meant something back then. Okay? Even today, it's supposed to mean something. Amen? When there's an engagement, there's an official, hey, we're going to get married. She's no longer your girlfriend. She is your fiancé. Amen? She just gone up a notch. That means he's not for sale, ladies. Amen? And neither is she. Because they're making plans. Amen? Making preparations. Amen? Arranging flowers and buying rings. You watch Judge Judy. You know how she rules in a courtroom? If a guy gives an engagement ring to a girl and then she dumps him in her courtroom, she has to give the ring back. That was a token of a contract in anticipation of marriage. And legally, she says, give the ring back. Now, by this time, the girl's got $3,000 out of the hawk shop for it. She says, well, I ain't got the ring. Well, you own $3,000. I mean, that's how she rules. Okay? So I like it. But anyway, right now, whoa, listen to this. Listen to this now. This is good. Right now, we have already received the seal of the promise of Jesus Christ. It is the wedding ring or the engagement ring of His Holy Spirit in us. Amen. The book of Ephesians tells you that story. It tells you how God legally has espoused us as His church, how Christ has done that. And He's given us the earnest. He's given us the earnest of His Spirit, putting it in us. That is Christ's engagement ring on us, showing us that He, watch this now, He is going to keep Himself faithful until the marriage takes place. I'm getting a little excited here. Okay? He's given us the earnest. He's already given us the engagement ring. That means He intends to keep His promise. Can I tell you, in all of this, Christ has and will remain faithful to His bride. That was your turn. Amen. Will you? Will you? You see how big this is? You see how important this is? You see, do we not see that the world we live in right now is so full of adulterated ideas that it has all but destroyed the sanctity of what will be the most blessed event in all of the universe? The marriage of Christ and His bride.
Amen.
This world has adulterated this thing. Perverted it. Corrupted it so much that it's not cared about. Even those that are getting married, they don't care about their marriage. I don't know how many issues that God's going to lead me to deal with today. I'm feeling probably not a whole lot. But I'm feeling led this morning to just stress to you how important it is for the husband to remain true to the wife and the wife to remain true to the husband.
Amen.
Especially if we call ourselves Christians. I was talking to Jared before church this morning, and a thought came to me while I'm praying about this message and studying it. Is that I can think of at least three situations in the past in this church of adultery. So let's not kid ourselves and say, bless God, the world needs to hear this. Yeah. No, we do. We're the ones that need to hear it. That we do not commit adultery. That we do not adulterate and corrupt the blessing that God has given us. Okay? Now see, now let me just deal with this just for a minute, okay? We're classified by the scientists as being in the animal kingdom. That means we're not vegetables. Amen? Okay? And the way God created us, God created us with the ability and the desire to perpetuate the species, to procreate. Okay? in nearly every human being, in nearly every human being sitting in this room right now, that desire has, we almost have a hard time holding on to the reins of that. Okay? That's because of the way God made us and God built us. Okay? And actually, it's a blessing. Be fruitful and multiply is what God said. And it is a blessing as long as it is in the box. The box, the guidelines of how this can be done. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Did you know that the Bible can be taken literally in that passage? Because when the man and the woman come together, literally, they create one flesh. That's the child that comes from them. And this is so cool! Because the baby gets 23 chromosomes from daddy and 23 chromosomes from mama and puts them all together. How much is that?
46.
If you will count the exact words that Adam said in your King James Bible, in that passage you'll find exactly 46 words to describe the coming together of the man and the woman and them fusing their chromosomes together to create the DNA of who that child is going to be. Isn't that beautiful? Or maybe we should just listen to the guy who says, oh, the King James Bible, if you believe that, that's a heresy. I'll just stick with what I know here. Amen? And tell you, I can see the most beautiful patterns replicated in this scripture that mankind has ever seen. It literally is the book of our life. Can I hear you say amen? But it's always within the guidelines. That's when God will bless it. Legally. That's when God will bless it legally. Now, in order for God to bless something that is outside the bounds of His law, it will require grace and not justice. You follow me? You see, legally, God already promised to bless those who obey the commandments. Do you see that in the Old Testament? Say amen.
Amen.
What happens then when we disobey the commandments? God cannot bless it legally. He must do so with grace and not with justice. And so, who in here has ever had a blessing in their life or their marriage or their personal life or their whatever it is? God has given it that to you not as a part of His just legal system, but He's given that as a part of His mercy on you. And don't you ever forget that. This is a lot different than how I imagined this sermon. You ought to be thankful for that, because it was going to be rough and mean and hard and cruel. Because remember, the thing that God put inside of us, it must be reined. You know, like a guy driving a wagon with horses and oxen on it, how does he control those horses? With reins. And he's got them. They don't turn unless he turns them. And the things that we have built into us, they must be reined in. They must be governed and controlled. I mean, I don't need to tell you how awful our nation has turned out as a result of the destruction of biblical marriage in this country. I don't have to tell you that. How many kids are being raised in two homes? Three homes. Sometimes four. How many children are being raised with abusive step-parents or live-ins? How many? Tons. I don't need to tell you the devastating effects that it's having in our culture. I don't need to tell you that our government rewards financially those who do not get married and punishes those who do financially. There's your chance.
Amen.
That's a sick government. That's a government that has lost its way. Amen? The government has lost whole cultures, whole entire cultures in our country have forgotten God's way. And we call it living in sin. That's exactly what it is. They have forgotten God's way. They have no respect. And it's not even that they're doing it and they know it's wrong. They're doing it, don't care anymore. That's when it's bad. That's when it's bad. You see, the sin is natural for all of us good church people. Oh, come on. See, the sin is natural for all of us good church people. But we still know it's sin. And the Holy Ghost bears down on us and convicts us. And we say, God, I don't want to live this way. You ought to thank God for that. Because the opposite is, man, I'm living this way and I'm loving it. Going from bed to bed to bed to bed. That's the world we live in today. Because marriage has been adulterated. It's been corrupted. Let me read to you the law. Leviticus 20 verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. God had strict guidelines. And see, today, if a man commits adultery on his wife, he might lose his chainsaw and his house and his tools and his wife. But he'll live and he'll go out and commit adultery again. But in God's law, it wasn't so. He was to be put to death and the woman as well. They were both to be put to death right then. That's how serious God is about this thing. Can I hear you say amen? Let me give you some wisdom out of the book of Proverbs. How many of you want some wisdom? Say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You know, that's the Proverbs way of saying you're an idiot. Amen? You're an absolute idiot. You're a fool for cheating on this gal. Ladies, the same way. How easy is it today? If we go back 50 years in this country, it's not very easy to commit adultery. You had to go to a bar. You had to find somebody. You had to get drunk. Today, what do you got to do? Click, click.
Get on the internet.
Click, 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 click. Somebody I know. You used to go to this church. Click, 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 click. Websites. His wife was telling me. Websites he was going to specifically to find women in this area that just want a one-night stand and be done with it. It's all private. They can run off after work and then go home. Click, 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 click. And I hope you're not sitting there going, where's this website at? Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You're an idiot. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. You see, God knit the woman that you're with. He actually made her a part of you. Who remembers Big Mike? Remember Big Mike coming here? He was a children's minister. And he came here one time. The neatest illustration he ever showed one time. He was talking, and he took two sheets of paper, and he made a circle on one with glue. And he took the other sheet of paper, and he glued it onto that one. And he talked, and he talked, and he talked, and he let it dry for a while. And as it dried, he said, this is what happens when two people come together. And he said, then they decide to go separate parts. And he took the paper, and he began to separate it. What happened? The paper that he tore off had a big hole in it. And the paper that was still there had still a part of it there. And he said, it just never really works out quite right. One of the best illustrations I ever saw of that. Because when two people are joined together in that way, you literally, this Bible's right. Bone and bone and flesh of flesh. And you never quite walk away from that. There's always a bond there. And you're destroying your own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. and his reproach shall not be wiped away. This is one of those issues. I mean, okay, we've all lied. Okay? We've all called somebody names. We've all taken things that didn't belong to us. But with adultery, it's a reproach that you never, ever, ever walk away from in this life. Yes, God forgives the sin. God heals the wounds, but it's always a scar that doesn't leave. It's always there. And Jesus took all of those scars and those wounds to the cross. By his stripes, we are healed. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
And give me just a few minutes here and I'll talk about the spiritual nature of adultery. Adulterating and corrupting God's plan. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery. And let me say this to you. Backsliding happens in every church. Normally happens with every Christian. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen?
But isn't that where the devil knows that he can get to you the most? Amen? And by the way, let me just deal with this. With every law that God has, there is a tempter to tempt you to break that law. How many of you know that? Say amen. There's a tempter to get you to worship idols. There's a tempter to get you to do all the things against God, to curse, the things like that. There's a tempter to get you to kill. Amen? There is a tempter to try to tempt you to commit adultery and adulterate your marriage. There is a tempter out there to do that. And that devil, that tempter, will stop at nothing. Okay? But I will tell you this. The closer you are to this, the farther back he has to stay. That's the rules. And not even the devil breaks the rules. He can't. God won't let him. The closer you get to this, the farther back he's got to stay. Okay? And the farther off it is, the better off it is. Because I will tell you that the doorway to adultery is always right here.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay? It's always right here. And the farther off the temptation is, the harder it is to see it.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, the neighbor lady that lives three blocks down, she might walk out to her mailbox and you're going. Doesn't do much for you. The closer it gets, the worse it is. So the closer you get here, the farther away it is.
Amen.
Amen. Backsliding Israel committed adultery. I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. You listen to this. Your Savior is going to stay faithful. Are you? There is spiritual adultery. There is adulterating, corrupting the promise that God has given you. And God had a right to divorce Israel. He had a right. He was faithful to her. He'd never done anything wrong to her. He had kept her. He cleaned her up. He made her a queen. Adorned her and dressed her. Made her the most beautiful city in the world. She went out and committed whoredoms against God. God had every right in the world to divorce her. You be careful. You be careful.
Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Listen to this. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. That sounds exactly like the world we're living in right now. Everybody after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things? He's going to. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? I'm going to tell you something. We can sit and probably work on for 3 days and a list of things God's going to get America for.
Oh my, yes.
One of them's killing babies. Amen?
Amen.
But another one is adultery. You know why we have to kill the babies? Because we can't keep ourselves in marriages.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's exactly right. And the Planned Parenthood crowd and all this other crowd is rewarding young girls who are promiscuous by allowing them to get a private abortion without their parents' consent and not face the consequences of their promiscuity. But I'm telling you, there is consequences. And God's going to visit. Ezekiel chapter 16, how weak is thine heart? Listen to this. How weak is thine heart? And I can tell you, okay, this concept right here is a weakness for most people. The Apostle Paul was a very, very special man. God had designed him as such that Paul did not have to marry. He did not have to lead about a wife because God had a calling for Paul. Paul was intensive. I mean, Paul would stay out all night preaching. Okay? So he wouldn't come dragging in the morning, his wife going, "Where you been all night?" Preaching. Yeah. Okay? I mean, that's how God designed Paul. Paul did not have a wife. He did not need to lead about a wife. And let me say this too, okay? One of the worst things that the Roman Catholic system ever came up with was the idea of celibacy for priests.
That's right.
It doesn't work. It never has worked. And it never will work. They're telling you that God, when a man comes to the priesthood, that God gives him this special thing to where he doesn't need it. That's a lie. And now we know it, don't we?
Yes.
We know the truth, don't we?
Right. Amen.
Because most people have that desire and urge. Most of them do. You see what I'm saying? So he says, how weak is thine heart? And our hearts, if we were to admit it, are incredibly weak. Saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, and that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, makest thine high place in every street, and he said, you hast not been as a harlot, and that thou scornest Tyre, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Now we're getting into the spiritual idea of it. Spiritual adultery. You have a good husband waiting on you. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And he's been awfully good to us. He has showered us with gifts. He has bestowed upon us his love. He has cleansed up. He cleaned up the bride. And I can tell you, church, there's not another fella out there for us but the Lord Jesus Christ. Not another one. Let's be true to him. Let's be true to him. John chapter 8, verse 10. The good old boys found a woman in bed with a man. The good old boys did. You know what the good old boys did, Jim? They took the woman and told the guy to sneak out the back way. That's what the good old boys did. So they took the woman and they brought her before Jesus. And they said, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Where's the guy? Because if you're in the act, there's a guy. The good old boys let them go. And they took the woman and they threw her down in front of Jesus in the dirt. See, they were trying to get Jesus to go against the law. Jesus said, and I love the King James Bible. And I hate what other preachers do to this passage. Because other preachers and other Bibles will say, who is without this sin, let him first cast. That is not what it says. It is not what this says. John chapter 8, verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. He said, I don't have the previous verse here, but he said that he who is without sin, let him first cast the stone. That excluded everybody in that group. Because I'm giving you out the grace with the law. The grace is that the person who lied and cheated on their taxes is the same sinner as the adulterer. You may not like that. I can't help it. God will not allow any one of us to be exalted above another, because we're all sinners. Nobody in this church has a right to condemn anybody. And I will tell you this, the people that I know that used to come to this church that have been guilty of this sin, I would welcome them back in a heartbeat.
Yes, amen.
In a heartbeat. With repentance and forgiveness. Because we have no right to cast stones. Tell God thank you. That he who is without sin, let him first cast the stone. And one by one, they dropped the rocks and they left. And now she stands alone, and her Savior. Her future husband. Her future husband. Who knows that she's a whore, said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I'll be waiting for you, because you're going to be my wife. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Hosea comes to mind, who fell in love with Gomer, the harlot. And she went out and committed adultery after they got married. And he loved her so much, he sent the kids out looking for, go find your mom. And she was being sold in the slave markets. And Hosea paid the price to buy her back. And he cleaned her up and made a righteous woman out of her. And that's what our Savior is trying to do with every one of us. And you ought to tell God thank you for that. And by the way, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Let's bow our heads. God, I love this Bible so much. Lord, I get so angry and I get so sad when I see guys that hate the Bible. Guys that are supposed to love the Word of God, and they hate it. Lord, I am thankful, God, for the grace that you've given me. Lord, you've given my family, you've given this church. I'm thankful, God, for the grace, the mercy. You see, God, you know, Lord, that we have all committed spiritual adultery. We have adulterated and corrupted by our backslidings the love and the promise that you have given to us. And Lord, In that we have all been caught. And now no man condemns us. And neither do you condemn us. But you offer us grace and you offer us forgiveness. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will go and sin no more. Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord, if there is someone sitting here or someone watching today that in recent days has considered adulterating their marriage, I pray, dear God, Lord, that your sweet Holy Spirit would just pull on the reins and say, no. No, that's not for you. Father, help the men to be thankful for the wives. Help the wives to be thankful for their husbands. And Lord, help us to show forth in this church, in our lives, in our marriages. Help us, dear God, to show forth your coming and the marriage that's just around the corner. Help us to show that to a world that is full of adultery. Help us to show that. Thank you, God, for forgiving, for being merciful, for not exposing us, dear God, to the entire world and all our private little sins. Thank you, God, for being discreet. And Lord, Father, we live with scars. Thank you, dear God, for the healing power of your stripes. Lord, we praise you. We give you honor and we give you glory. And Lord, help us to not corrupt the beauty of what you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, this day. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. All of God's people said. Amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing
that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.